You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, and we're going to be looking at 25 through 34. You'll notice that we added a few more chairs down the side and some chairs in the back. We tried to where it's getting tight. At 11 o'clock, we had no space. We had like a row or two up front, and nobody likes to sit on the front row. So I'm trying to push more people to the 9 o'clock service. So we pray more people come to the 9, so that way you can be more uncomfortable. No, I'm just kidding. It's truly neat to see everything that God's doing. I will say this: we got some quotes back for the window pricing for the building. We're going to have a meeting today, deacons meeting after the service today, and so we're going to talk through some details, but I would like you to pray, and if you're able, and God has blessed you with the privilege to be able to give, the insulation package came back at $42,000, and the window package came back at $39,000, and so I'd like you to pray about that, and people can give different than others, whether it's $5 or, $100,000, whatever. But if God would lay that on your heart to give towards that, I would say, listen, now's the time. We're hoping to have a contractor here in June to start erecting this building, but we still need those two components. While we have the money to erect the building, we kind of need those two components to seal the outside of the structure. And so one thing I do like is that when we you don't have to look too hard and too long to see where your money's going when you give here at Brimley. You constantly see it fleshed out and used for the kingdom of God and for His glory, to be able to continually make room for that next person, to appoint people to the Lord, to bring people to a closer of relationship with the Lord. And so today, the title is Worry That Won't Work. That won't work. Before I read, or before we dive into Matthew chapter 6 and we finish up this chapter, I want to read to you a story out of 1 Kings chapter number 17 that really ties into this truth that Jesus is giving us. I love how the scriptures are woven together and they all connect. The stories and the truths in the New Testament, when you look back at the Old Testament, usually highlight things that God has done in the past, and He's bringing it to light through truths in the New Testament. And so 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to read a few verses, and I'd like you just to listen to the story here, the truth that you're going to hear. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," now this is Elijah, "the word of the Lord came to Elijah," and this is in a time of famine and drought. 3.5 years, no water. We see in James chapter 5, God call Elijah, talking about he prayed for that drought, and we see it in the story of Kings that Israel turned their back on the Lord. God sent a drought in the land, and we see he's telling Elijah in verse number 9, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, that's interesting because they're in the middle of a drought, and God is telling Elijah to go to a widow woman who usually means that they are impoverished and don't have much as it is. We see that widow woman in the New Testament who all she had to give to the Lord was two mites. She was impoverished. She had nobody to take care of her but the Lord. This widow woman, the same. And we see God command Elijah to go to this woman that he has commanded her to sustain Elijah. Kind of backwards a little bit, but this is God's command, and this is God's provisions. And so in verse number 10, it says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath," Elijah, obeying the word of the Lord. "And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks." And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now remember, famine means no water. There's a drought. So he's asking for something extremely valuable at the time. And she was going to fetch it. She went to fetch it. And he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." Basically, what Elijah is asking for is, hey, bring me a little gold, because that's how valuable bread was at this time. That's how valuable a water was at this time. So don't just bring me a water, bring me a little bread. Look at verse number 12. When she asked that, he turned around and she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. I don't even have enough for one muffin of bread, so to say, or one portion of bread, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we might die." Here's the first thing that I want you to ponder on as we walk through this, and we'll get to the text here in a minute. Does it sound like she knew what God told her to do? Remember, Elijah, he said, "Go, and I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." Does it sound like she's informed of God's plan yet? This woman was getting ready to take what little she had, literally, the last that she had. She was going to make this last meal, the last supper, and then die. And her child. And Elijah said unto her in verse 13, "Fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first." He's saying, listen, this is what God said for me to come to you. Go home and do exactly what you said, but I want you to bring me a little first. You're like, why? Listen. "And bring it unto me, and after you do that, after you give me the first," notice the first of the little that you have left, "the first of the little you have left, and after make for thee and for thy son." Well, she already told him that he only had enough for one day, just a little bit for her and her son. Look at verse 14, or listen to verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." God is making a promise to this woman, and it's interesting because Jesus references this woman in the New Testament, that she trusted God, and she wasn't even a Jew, and they about stoned Jesus as he walked right through the midst. This woman trusted God with what little she had, and God did exactly what he said he was going to do. In verse number 15, "And she went and did." She trusted God. She gave God of the first through Elijah, giving it to Elijah. And it says, "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he," Elijah, "her and her son," right, "her house, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which was spoken by Elijah." God provided. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump in. Lord God, I pray that as, Lord, we look at this very real, this very personal, this very challenging thing that you called this widow woman to do, Lord God. But we see your goodness and your faithfulness, that you can always be trusted and that you always provide. Lord God, I don't know your people the way that you know them. Lord, I don't know what the needs are in this room, but Lord God, I know one thing, that you're faithful. And Lord, today as you call us to trust you, Lord, in ways that don't make rational sense to our world, to our culture, but they make sense to you. Lord God, help us to be like this widow woman, putting you first with what little we have, trusting you to sustain us and not we ourselves. Oh God, I pray that you would let your word be paramount today. Give us ears to hear and a heart to be able to receive this truth and actions to be able to do as this widow woman does and take and give you that first, Lord, of what is yours. And watch you miraculously do what we could never, ever do in our lives. Oh, Lord God, open our eyes, open our ears. Lord, we ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Who we trust in matters. Not just for our salvation, but for our daily bread. It's interesting how we as Christians can trust Jesus for our salvation, but when it comes to our money or our daily needs and provisions, we depend on ourselves. Jesus is going to show us today the connection between self-dependency and worry. How self-dependency, when I depend on myself, often associates and ends in worry, and how when we trust in God, it often ends in peace. A peace, not just a peace, but a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense. Anybody would have said to that woman, that widow woman, you are crazy if you do what God tells you to do. But you know what? That if that woman was here today, she would testify and say, that was the best thing I ever did. And so as we look at this, we're going to go through two different things. We're going to look at point number one. We've got 2 points. Point number one is reasons not to worry. And then we're going to look at point number two, reasons why we worry. And so point number one, reasons not to worry. Look at verse number 25 of our text in Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to look at verse number 25. It says, therefore, I say unto you, now this is coming right off of, a man cannot serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and money, okay? He talks about previous verses. This is all connected together. Talking about where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's coming off of that. And he says to us, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. And please understand, God is not telling us to just live careless lives with what he's giving us. He's saying, hey, you can only do so much. Yes, you go to work. Yes, you do what's right with what he's given to you. But at the end of the day, it's God's responsibility to take care of you. So it says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. And he leaves them with a question. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Jesus starts out with a question by saying, is there not more to life than just eating and drinking? It can be so easy, and I think sometimes we fail to realize that we hone in and become so narrow-minded on our own needs and our own provisions that we miss how God provides on a spectacular level in miraculous ways all the time. It can be so easy for us to get narrow-minded and self-focused on our own needs that we miss how God provides for all of creation. If we can't learn to trust God in the small things, how will we ever be able to trust him in the big things? The Bible says if we can't trust God in the small things, if we can't trust God that he's going to provide our daily provisions, how in the world are we going to be able to trust him in the bigger things? The phrase, take no thought here, means be not anxious or worried. Be not anxious or worried. And he'll say this over and over and over again in the text. And then he tells us what not to be anxious about, and that's our daily provisions. He tells us directly what not to be anxious about. And so for the first reason not to worry, the first reason God tells us not to worry, Jesus tells us not to worry is A, God cares for the birds. You're like, Pastor, that doesn't seem like much of an answer, but it is a great answer. You know, in our lives, sometimes we get so self-focused, so self-centered, that it's just about us that we miss how God provides on a spectacular level for all of creation. And so Jesus says, I'm telling you, take no thought for those needs. And then he highlights, you see that bird over there? My wife, she loves birds. She's got one of those little fancy bird things that send Wi-Fi bird pictures directly to your phone, and she's like, oh, look at this little bird, sunshine, and it's like chirp, 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 and she's literally sending this to us, and she's out on the back porch feeding the birds, and they're very messy, by the way. They spill bird seeds everywhere, and every time I see her out there, you know, I think God's providing for the bird that day. And it's funny, but yet God provides in ways unbeknownst to us. God cares for the birds. Of reason number one, we should not worry. Look at verse number 26. Behold, the fowls of the air. In Matthew chapter 10, he talks about the sparrows. The sparrows are not the sparrows. Hey, God doesn't let one of them fall to the ground. He cares for them each. It says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. They don't go out and plant fields. Neither do they reap. They can't harvest the fields. They can't produce their own food, nor gather into barns. They can't stockpile, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them every day. Every day. Are you not much better than they? When we are so self-focused on our own needs, we miss how our Heavenly Father miraculously provides food for all of creation. Here, Jesus highlights how God the Father provides food for the birds. He's doing that intentionally to remind us if he takes care of the birds, how much more is he going to take care of you and me? I like what he tells us. He says, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. They can't stockpile in bank accounts. They can't plant their own food and harvest their own food. But I love how he highlights your heavenly Father, and take note of the personal relationship here. What father in this room would let his children starve? You would do whatever it takes to provide. And he highlights the relationship aspect. He says this. He says, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Your heavenly Father. It's not the bird's heavenly Father. It's your heavenly Father. He feedeth them. He takes care of them. And he highlights it by saying, are not ye much better than they? Are you not so much more important than them? Are you not more important to your Father in heaven than the sparrows? Will he not provide your daily needs also? Think about that when you worry next time. Well, I don't know if God's going to take care of this or not. I don't know if God can meet this need. Hey, when those thoughts come across your mind, I really want you to think about Romans chapter 8, verse 32. When it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God sent his only begotten son to provide the most desperate, singular need that any one person has, how much more will he not provide your daily bread? If he sent his son to die on the cross for the needs of your sin, he saw the most desperate need you have, because you know what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, don't miss the big picture. God has already shown you he will provide and care for you. Don't lose sight. When you look at the birds being fed and you have worry about, will God help with this bill, or will God take care of this, or will God meet this need? Hey, remember, reasons not to worry. First one, he cares for the birds. He will care for you. But then B, God, and this is interesting because the analogies Jesus uses here, because next he points to a flower. And he highlights the beauty of a flower. And we're talking about meeting our daily needs. And he's like, you see that bird? Yeah. Hey, you see that flower? And so reasons not to worry. He cares for the birds. He will care for us. But then B, God clothed the lilies. He points them to a flower. And look at verse number 28. And why take ye thought for your raiments, or your clothing, those basic needs, the shoes on your feet, the jacket on your back, the shirt, the pants, those necessities of life? He says, consider the lilies of the field. He says, I want you to think about, and I think lilies are the most beautiful flowers. Beautiful flowers. They're just amazing. And it says how they grow. They toil not. They're not working to make themselves grow. God grows them. God gives them every element that they need. Sunlight, water, dirt, the nutrients, everything that they need to grow up in beautiful splendor. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon... And then he highlights this man who has more than anything, and his clothing was more beautiful and more elegant and luxurious than anybody else's. And he says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, this flower that my father made is more beautiful than anything man can make or man can provide. Jesus turns our attention from the birds God feeds to the lilies of the field God clothes with beauty. He says, consider them. Consider them. That's what he says in verse 28. Consider the lilies. He says, I want you to think about the lilies of the field. Next time you wonder if God's going to meet your needs, if God's going to take care of you. When we worry about whether or not God will provide, it's good for us to think outside of our own needs and realize the larger level that God has been faithful, not just to us, but to all of creation. God provides. You know, sometimes we get in our own heads that we're the only ones that have needs. We forget how God provides, not just for every person, but every single creature that he has made. Jesus highlights how God's provisions are far better. Think about this. How they're far better and more beautiful than man's provisions. He says Solomon in all of his glory, in all of his efforts, could not be as beautiful by his own power and his own ability and his own provisions as could one single lily in the field. God is trying to turn our attentions to himself. The lilies of the field don't dress themselves. God does, and they are more beautiful because of it. Look at verse number 30. Wherefore, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today and is tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? He's bringing us to the reminder that if God cares for the smallest of birds, how much more is he going to care for you? If God cares to dress and clothe and grow that lily in the field that today is growing up, but tomorrow is going to burn out and be consumed and withered, how much more will he take care of you and of your family? So he says in verse 31, therefore, take no thought. Hey, don't be anxious. Don't worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Jesus highlights yet again why we should not worry, because your heavenly Father cares for you. He highlights that again. But then he gives us one more reason not to worry. And this is a pretty big one right here. See, because worry won't help. worry will not help. Look at verse number 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Basically, he's saying, which of you, by being anxious and worrying about your problems and your daily needs, will be able to grow yourself 1 inch taller? And a cubit is 18 inches. So he's saying, hey, how much has worry ever helped you? Worry has never produced one meal or ever met one need. Worry has never put shoes on your kids' feet or gas in your car. A worry has never healed a sickness or changed a diagnosis. Worry has never changed anything, but your Father in heaven has. This is what he's highlighting. This is what he's highlighting. We see reasons not to worry, but then he turns our attention to reasons why we worry. Reasons why we worry. And this is really a lot of the meat of the message here. There are reasons here in this portion of Scripture that Jesus highlights as reasons people often worry about things that they shouldn't. There's three things that we see here. You know, the first thing that we see, the first one is a faith problem. Look at verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? What's those last few words there? O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. See, the problem isn't will God provide or not. The problem for our worry is that we don't trust him that he will provide. Jesus highlights the root cause, or one of the root causes, as being a lack of faith. If we struggle to believe that God will supply our daily food, what makes us think we can trust him with our future, our calling, or our lives? Faith that falters over bread will never stand the test in the fire. A faith that can't trust that God will provide our daily basic needs, when it's tried, it will never stand the test. When it goes through the true hardships, where we're truly tempted to say, hey, we have to trust God. We have to step out of the boat. See, the first reason, it's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. It's not a God problem. It's a faith problem. But then we see the second problem, or the second of reason we worry, it's a priority problem. It's a priority problem. See, Jesus highlights another root cause of worry that's having our priorities wrong. See, look at verse number 32. It says, for after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. He's referencing their worldly focus, that they're looking to the world to supply their needs when they should be looking to God. It's a priority problem. It's not just a faith problem, trusting God that he'll provide. It's a priority problem. Because here, when we get our priorities wrong and God becomes second or third or fourth or maybe not even on the list, it can produce great worry in our lives. And so therefore, in verse number 33, he says to us today, the thing that will bring peace is this, getting our priorities right. Look at it. But seek ye first. Does it say second? No. It says, but seek ye first. Is that pretty clear? But seek ye first. Whose kingdom? Whose kingdom does it say? Come on, church, respond with me. Whose kingdom are we to seek first? God's kingdom. He makes it very clear. And when we think back about that woman at Zarephath, she had a very real choice to make. Am I going to seek my kingdom or am I going to seek God's? When the rubber met, you want to know why so many people come to church and don't stay? Because when the rubber hits the road, when it comes down from hearing to applying, the only way that we prove God's faithfulness is by applying what he tells us to apply. That woman stepped out by faith and took that step and said, man, I can't see how this is going to work, but you know what? And guess what? She didn't sink and neither did Peter. But she had a choice to make. See, we can say we follow Jesus all day long. We can say we seek his kingdom all day long. And it sounds real good and it sounds real spiritual and it sounds real holy. But do you? Do you actually have your priorities in the place where you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then trusting him? And then trusting him, not giving God your leftover, spare time, pocket change, but truly trusting him. Because it's after that, the scriptures say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. See, that woman had to be obedient to God first. Did we not see that? Go therefore, make me, Jesus, or Elijah said. And then, this is what's going to happen. The same exact thing is said to us in the scriptures today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But how often we get it wrong. Just like you can only serve, and I want you to think about this. Just like you can only serve one master, you can only seek one kingdom at a time. The kingdom you put first reflects your priorities and who you're trusting in to provide your needs. This takes us back to that widow woman and her son. She was going to trust what was in her hand to save her, or was she going to trust what was in God's hand to save her? Do you see this? Do you see it? She was either going to trust what was in her hand to save her and her son, which would have lasted one day, or was she going to step out in faith and say, I trust what's in God's hands more than what's in my hands? What she had in her hand would only last one day. She had a choice to make. Do I give to God the little I have and seek his kingdom? Or do I keep what I have in my hands and seek my own kingdom? And the results would have been devastating if she had kept for herself and sought her own kingdom. Many people in that day died because of that famine. But not this woman. She trusted the Lord. See, worry comes when we look at what's in our hands instead of what's in God's hand. Worry comes when I look at what's in my hands, because she was worried. I'm making this meal. She's looking at what's in her hands and she's saying, I'm making this meal and then I'm going to go home and die. Would anybody say she's a little worried? She's looking at what's in her hands. That's when worry comes. Seeking God's kingdom first relinquishes. Think about this. Seeking God's kingdom first relinquishes the burden of responsibility from off of yourself and puts it on your heavenly Father where it should be. So the dad in here that says, man, I got to make it. Oh, no, you need to go to work, just like scripture says. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. That's what the Bible says. But at the end of the day, when you've done all you can do, Dad, hey, you get on your knees and you say, God, I've done everything I can do. I'm trusting you to do what you said you're going to do. Hey, Mom, when the cupboards are bare or when the diagnosis comes in or you don't understand something, hey, what are you going to do at this time? It matters. The burden of responsibility is going to be on one of two people. You can only, think about this. This is another truth. You can only seek one master. You can only seek one kingdom, but you can only trust one person. It's either going to be yourself or it's going to be the Lord to provide for you. And you know the lives that I see trusting themselves, it's they're running them their lives ragged, literally, like, I gotta make it. Well, maybe God don't want you to get what you're striving for. You ever think about that sometimes? You can only trust, hey, your Heavenly Father to take care of you, or you're trusting and depending on yourself. And what I mean by that is you're trusting and depending what's in the bank account. You're trusting and depending in, hey, those things that you have to fall back on. Just in case God doesn't work out for me or God doesn't provide, I'll fall back on this. No, God, hey, God is the everything. But you know, the third reason for worry today, and we'll close with this one, is the third reason we worry is because of tomorrow's problems. Tomorrow's problems. You know, this is someone who worries about tomorrow's problems that haven't happened yet and might not ever happen. And you know what I'm talking about. You do. Well, what about tomorrow? This is someone who lives in the world of what if? What if? What if I get laid off? What if God doesn't? What if this happens? What if? And I like how Jesus, look at verse number 34. He closes with this. He says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. This is what he's saying to us. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, is it not? It's right there. Hey, don't worry about tomorrow. And I like what he says. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Hey, let God worry about tomorrow. A sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Basically, when we start to worry about tomorrow and plan for tomorrow, and I'm not saying don't plan for things, and I don't think God is either, but when we're so focused on tomorrow, it can cause issues in our lives. See, Jesus says we have enough to deal with each day, much less bringing potential problems from tomorrow into what problems we have today. And you know, it's interesting because last time I checked, God did not say he would provide and that you were to pray, give me this month's my workload, or give me this month's my bread and the food that I need. Or to give me, he says, I think we talked about this so much, beating a dead horse. I'm going to say it again. Give us this day our daily bread. Does it say monthly bread? It says daily bread. See, because we get caught so much up in tomorrow, but the Bible says our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. You're planning and worrying about something that you might not even be here to take care of. The Lord might come back tomorrow, right? That's the prayer. That's the hope. So why are you going to worry about tomorrow's troubles? Hey, deal with today. Trust God for today. Think about that. You know, today as we wrap up, you know, three things I want you to consider. Trust God one day at a time. And that's kind of hard because that means we're going to be reliant on him day to day. Day to day. You know, he only lights our next step. He doesn't light the path of our whole entire life. Why? Because he knows that if he did, we wouldn't depend on him. God never promises tomorrow's supply. He promises today. Stop caring about what God hasn't given you yet and trust him for today. But the second thing is, put God first or worry will take his place. Put God first or worry will take his place. You can't seek God's kingdom and your own at the same time. Seeking God's kingdom isn't just about your time. It includes your money, your priorities, your life. And Jesus makes this clear in Matthew 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man could serve two masters. But then thirdly, worry changes nothing. You can leave here today and continue to heap up your worries, and God's like, hey, it's not going to fix you. And in fact, it's going to cause you a lot of health trouble. It's going to cause you a lot of anxiety. It's going to cause you a lot of pain and turmoil and depression and all of those things. That's what worry produces. But faith in our Heavenly Father changes everything. Worry has never met one need, fixed one problem, provided one single thing, but faith in God has. And so today, as my wife comes and sits at the piano, I don't know how God spoke to you. I don't know what worries you're bearing today, but let's bow our head and close our eyes and reflect on what we've heard today with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's go to the Lord and reflect on what we've heard. Some of us in this room need to stop living like everything depends on you. You might think it does, but it doesn't. God's the one that gives you strength to go to work each day, to get that paycheck each week. Stop living life like everything depends on you and live life. Start living life like everything depends on Him, like it does. God is faithful enough to save your soul for eternity. He is faithful enough to sustain your life today. Stop worrying and start trusting. And you know, it's not just trusting Him about our daily bread. Maybe there's someone in here that needs to trust God for their eternal salvation. Maybe there's someone in here today that doesn't know where, if they were to die today, if the Lord were to take you today, you don't know where you're going to go. Maybe your trust has been in religion. Maybe your trust has been in your own self-righteousness or your good works. But you've always put yourself above God's way. And the Lord would say to you today, He's like, I'm the only way that you can have eternal life. Will you trust Him? Will you call out to Him today to save you? Will you put all of your faith in Him for your salvation? It's through what Jesus did on the cross is the only way your sins will ever be forgiven. Have you trusted Him for that? Or do you still worry about where you're going to go when you die? That might be an indicator that maybe you haven't trusted Him completely for your salvation. I don't know how God spoke to you today, but let's pray it in as the worship team comes. Father God, I love You, and I thank You for the reminder today that You are faithful. Lord God, You're faithful to the smallest of Your creation, those little birds. You feed them every day. And then you tell us to look at them and be reminded of how You feed them when we doubt and hesitate, that You won't feed us, that You won't take care of us, that You won't provide for us. Lord God, I pray that You would help Your people today to realize that You're a good Father and will not give us so much more than we could even imagine. Lord God, I pray that as we walk out of here today, there are more people's hearts that are dependent on You and not themselves for their daily needs and for those things that only You can provide, which is life itself. Lord God, help us not to put our kingdom before Yours. Lord, but help us to be more like that widow woman who trusted You and You did a marvelous work and You saved lives. And You provide it in an abundant way. Lord, bless Your people today. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com. www.thebiblecollege.com.